We are going to wrap up this series we've been in for the season of Advent. We're going to wrap it up tonight. I know this is like you guys have been waiting for this. This is where it kind of gets interesting. We've been going through the senses. And if you don't get anything out of this other than that you realize what the five senses are, I hope that that's at least, thank you, something you get. So this series is called Sensing God. And it's based on the idea that God has gone out of his way to make himself known to us. And the incarnation, which is the birth of Christ, the moment where God came in the flesh, where he showed up in the form of humanity, the incarnation is, I believe, central to this truth that God has gone out of his way to make himself known. And I think that really tells us something about what God is like and what God desires. That God, his desire is that we would know him. And when we look at the life of Jesus and we look at God sending his son, the story of Advent, we see that. Perhaps clearer than ever before. And so we talked about this idea that God is revealing himself through his word, that he has spoken and desires for us to hear him. And all throughout the Old Testament, we see that time and again. He appointed leaders, he appointed prophets to speak to the people, the heart, the very heart, the very word of God. We talked about how God has made himself visible to us, that in fact, when God sent his son, that God showed up in visible form. The incarnation is the time that God has been as visible as ever before. Last week, we talked about, what did we talk about? Taking hold of the promise of God, that God actually wants to bring his promises to fruition, that God's promise and that promise coming to pass, that they go hand in hand because God keeps his word, and that, in fact, God wants us to hold on to the things that he's spoken, and Jesus is the ultimate promise that God has made to humanity, that he is doing something about the situation that we find ourselves in, and he has, in fact, and is redeeming it. He has brought salvation. And so this idea of taking hold of the things that God has spoken. So tonight, it gets interesting. What do we have left? Anybody, if you're paying attention? Smell and taste, okay. how does God desire for us to know him in those two areas? I'll say this. This series has been kind of a journey for me because it wasn't like I sat down and decided, oh, okay, we're going to map out these sermons and then we'll put it all together. Oh, and we'll make this series about the senses. No, I was just in prayer and said, God, what are we going to do for Advent? And this thought came of encountering God through the totality of who we are. And that even the incarnation is God actually making himself subject to the senses. And so it was just this interesting thought. I was like, okay, I think we have something here, okay? But I didn't really think it out. We're just going to go with it. So if we don't get anything for smell, if we don't get anything for taste, well, that'll be interesting. But in fact, as I've been like just listening and reading the word, there's some interesting things that have come up. I have no clue where this is going to go tonight, but we are going to cover the last two senses. I know that. Okay, so smell and taste. And I want to start with smell, but actually it's appropriate that we only had 4 weeks, but we had five senses, so what are we going to do with that? Smell and taste, they actually go hand in hand. I don't know if you realize this, but if you lack smell, you're going to lack taste. Smell and taste go hand in hand. In fact, the stat that I read is that something like 70% of what we perceive as taste is actually informed by smell. So without the ability to smell things, we don't have the ability to fully taste things. So I don't know how that all works. Someone else could probably explain it a lot better than I can. But that's interesting, isn't it? So I want to start by talking about smell and how we experience God through smell. We're going to be in this one passage, a very short passage. It's Ephesians 5, 1 and 2. So let's just go there. Before we read this, I want to say this, that your life and my life have a fragrance. Your life has a fragrance. Follow me, okay? Just humor me for a little bit, all right? Your life emits a fragrance. And the question is, what's it smell like? See, smell actually is more powerful than maybe we acknowledge. We might not consider smell one of the most important senses, but I want to say actually, smell is powerful. Smells are potent. Are you with me? Just think of, for a second, a pleasant smell and what that conjures up. Actually, I had some incense that I was going to burn up here, but then I was in the back and I smelt tonight's dinner. And then I realized, I'll just let that speak for itself, but you can't actually smell it up here. Can you guys smell what we're having tonight? What's it smell like? What do you smell? Anybody? Come on. I need participation here. Anyone in the back particularly? Because I noticed I can't smell what's cooking. Okay, yeah. Oh, what are we having tonight, Siobhan? Taco soup. You were close. All right, so if you go to the back of the room, you're going to smell this strong chili-like aroma that is tonight's dinner, taco soup. And for someone who hasn't eaten all day, I was thinking, wow, I'm getting really hungry. Fragrance, smell, it's actually potent. It actually can change the environment of a room, good or bad. Are you with me? Have you ever been in a place and everything was going fine and then someone walked in with something that did not really smell well? I remember I was at the end of a really long trip. I was in Europe at the time and I was at the last leg of finally being home. I had one train ride left, and we had been traveling for a day and a half. And all I wanted to do was get on this train car. It was an overnight ride back to Florence, and all I wanted to do was get on the train, fall asleep, wake up close to my house. We lived right across from the train station. Plan was going great. Until someone came into our car. We had 6 seats. 5 of them were filled. We had 1 empty seat. We were hoping no one else would show up just because you didn't want to have to stay awake and protect your things. And that usually is what was required if you had someone sitting in your car that you didn't know. Well, someone got in our car, and not only did we not know them, but wow, they smelled great. And they made themselves comfortable. Took off the boots. Wow, our window didn't open. What am I going to do? In my pocket, I had an orange. The orange is what got me back to Florence. I literally sat in the corner smelling the orange. It sounds a little bit. I mean, what were we going to do? Tell them, can you please put your shoes back on? But it filled the car. Filled the car. Wow. You guys, you can imagine it, right? Yeah, they hiked the Appalachian Trail. So your life has a smell. There's a fragrance. The question is what? What is it? I want to read this passage. It talks about God actually being a fragrance as well. It's Ephesians 5, verse 1 and 2. And this is what it says. It says, follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love. Just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. I want to read that passage again. It says, follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. This passage says that Christ's life was a fragrant offering, a sweet aroma. And it says that we are to let our lives be that same aroma, that same sweet smell. What's the smell of heaven? What does heaven smell like? What is the fragrance of Jesus? It's in this verse. It's sacrificial love. Sacrificial love is the fragrance of heaven. Sacrificial love is what the life of Jesus smelt like. Are you guys following me? Is this over your heads? I hope not. It says here that he gave up himself for us as a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. Jesus' life was a life of sacrificial love. And everywhere he went, he filled the room with the sacrificial love of the Father. The incarnation itself is actually God's sacrificial love being given to humanity. It's a love that gives. It's a love that sacrifices. God so loved you and I. God so loved this world that he gave. He gave his son. This may not seem like an Advent verse or an Advent sermon, but it is, because God's sacrificial love was on full display in the incarnation of his son. It says here, walk in the way of love. Let your life be that aroma. Let your life be a life that lays down its rights. Let your life be a life that gives. Let your life be a life that says, because of love, I will sacrifice. Is that what your life smells like? Or does it smell like something else? I believe that this season that we're in, this is as necessary of a time as any to orient our lives in a way that we're thinking of others rather than ourselves, that we're giving, not taking. And in that process, we are actually displaying what we've received. The sacrificial love of Jesus and the sweet aroma of heaven. does that look like for you? What does it look like for you to step into that? What does it look like for you to change the atmosphere where you go because you aren't thinking about yourself? You're thinking about the people around you. You're thinking about those whom God wants to love through you. We have the opportunity to change environments. We have opportunity, your life, through your life, you have the opportunity to change the room that you walk into. How? Through sacrificial love. So will you lay down your right and let God emanate through you? It's powerful. It's potent. There's a story in the Gospels. There's actually two different stories that are similar, related. In both of them, we see a woman come to Jesus and pour out this oil, pour out this perfume, costly perfume. And actually, in Matthew's telling of the story, they're right in the middle of dinner. And the smell of this perfume, a whole jar of it, think like the entrance of Macy's. I was just there, I was like, wow, get me out of here. It just overtook the room. Overtook the room. There was nothing else that they were thinking about. There was nothing else that they could focus on. The smell just emanated in that place. And Jesus, he was really happy about it. To the others, it looked wasteful, but Jesus, he was like, this moment will actually go down in history. Sacrificial love. It's potent. What does it look like for you? See, for each of us, we have an opportunity. It doesn't matter how much you have, but it's what you do with it. Some of us might be actually praying to get out of situations. Some of us might be praying to get away from certain people. Some of us might be praying to have more than we have right now. Some of us might be praying to have different things than we have right now. But I wonder if those things matter so much. I wonder if, in fact, what matters is what we're doing with what we have. Can I preach for a minute? And I'm saying this as an encouragement tonight. Hear me in that way. What I'm saying is what you have is more potent than you think. If you decide to do what God wants to do through you with it. Your life, the words you speak, the way you carry yourself, the way you treat the people that you have to be around every day, the way you treat people that you don't plan to be around, but you just run into. All of these things, they're opportunities to emanate the fragrance of heaven, to let love shine through you, to change the atmosphere. Sometimes we say, you know what? It's such a negative environment. I need to be out of it. I think maybe we're underestimating what we have and what God wants to do through us, through an unexpected sacrificial word, unexpected sacrificial act of generosity, unexpected sacrificial moment of kindness. I want to get our imaginations going in this, because there's opportunities are endless. for you to be the fragrance of heaven tomorrow, Monday, 4 days away from Christmas, when you're just trying to get through to Friday. There's opportunities tomorrow. There might be opportunities tonight in this room. Sacrificial love is the fragrance of heaven, and it's what we received through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. And it's what we've been called to in being called to be like him. And it's more powerful than you think. Will you lay down your right to yourself? And in doing so, let heaven break through into the room. I want to connect this to the last one of these. Taste. Taste. I believe that when we do this, people will taste of the goodness of God. It's that short and that sweet. That when we do this, when we go against the flow, because we are wired to protect ourselves and our stuff. When we go against the flow, we will give people a taste of God's goodness. A taste of God's goodness. It says actually in Psalm 34, taste and see that the Lord is good. See, actually the aroma is an invitation to taste. The smells back there, they're not just smells. If they're just smells, we'd be a little disappointed, wouldn't we? They're an invitation to taste the goodness. When we live in this way, in moments where it's unexpected, and in fact, most moments where we live in this way will be unexpected, it's actually an invitation to taste of the goodness of God. And our world needs to taste of his goodness. In tasting of the goodness of God, we taste of what God is really like. The smell is an invitation to taste. One more story from Europe. When I lived in Italy, I was there studying art. That was my undergraduate degree. That's what brought me to Baltimore. And I had the awesome opportunity to study in Florence, of all places, for 4 months. And I lived right across the street from the train station and right around the corner from some really amazing places, the largest open-air market in the city. And, you know, as romantic as that sounds, you're thinking, you know, really historic old Europe. Yes, it's true. But right next door to where I lived was a McDonald's. I was not expecting that in this beautiful historic place, that I would be living right next door to the only McDonald's that I knew of. And that was a real temptation for me. And actually, no, it wasn't, actually. I actually decided from day one, in this amazing place, with all the incredible food options, I would not eat at McDonald's. But you know what was really hard? Keeping that pact with myself. It was really hard because they pump out the smell of French fries all day long. I don't even think they were cooking French fries. They just have the smell ready, and it's just, they're just sending it out into the air. I mean, I could smell it from my apartment. It was really difficult. But I stand here today proud to say I did not eat at McDonald's for 4 months. Actually, except for ice cream. I had ice cream a few times. I didn't eat the French fries. Where was it going with that? I don't know. Smell is an invitation to taste. Your life in that way when you live out this sacrificial love, you are inviting people to taste the goodness of God and for it to be reality for them. Will you let him move through you in that way? Let's pray.